Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I declare the meeting open at 5:30, and I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome back the public, even in a limited COVID-19 setup. But at least we can have up to 20 people in this room to witness our meeting for the first time in, I think, 3 months. So thanks for turning up. I'd just like to acknowledge the Gariel people on whose lands we now meet and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Item 3 is a list of those people attending the meeting, the officials. Mine has Carl Askew there, but he's clearly not here. So that needs to be...
It's done.
That's done? Okay. Attendance by phone, nobody. Apologies to the CEO, Carl Askew, who is in Perth. Approval of a leave of absence, there is nil. I declare that I have an impartiality interest in item 11.1.6, and Josephine Bohachi has an impartiality interest in item 11.2.1. And those matters will be dealt with when we get to those particular items. Item 4, application for leave, there is nil. Item 5, response to previous questions, there is nil. Public time. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and streamed live online as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking processes, which may be released upon request of a third party. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, nobody shall use a visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the chairperson to do so. Members of the public are also reminded that in accordance with section 6.17 subsection 4 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, mobile phones must be switched off and not used during the meeting. In accordance with section 6.7 subsection 3 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place the completed form in the tray provided. If the presiding member determines that questions and statements are out of order due to the use of offensive or objectionable expressions or are defamatory, they will not be recorded or responded to. I now move on to question time, which I declare open at 5:35. Are there any questions from the public? We have in fact two questions that have been provided through electronic means, which I'll hand over to our acting CEO to ask the questions. Is that right? Yes.
Thank you. Through the chair, we have received two questions from Ms. Vicky Brooks. They were received on the 15th of May 2020. The first question, could you please tell me what is happening with the marina? I thought work was supposed to have started by now, or when we might see some progress. I'll ask the Director of Regulatory Services to provide a response.
Through the chair, the detailed design phase of the Spoil Bank Marina project is nearing completion, which will mark the major milestone for the much anticipated community project. Significant work has been undertaken to reach this stage, including technical studies, data analysis, and modelling and design work. Over the past few months, the task force has been busy on the following items. They've completed a long period wave resonance study to understand the impact from passing iron ore ships on the marina basin boat ramp. They've completed the geotechnical interpretive report to confirm site conditions for construction. The boat ramp design has been completed. commence design work for the truck haulage road upgrades that will enable rock and material to be delivered to build the breakwater and revetment walls, commence the development application process, and receive decision from the Environment Protection Authority to not formally assess the proposal as published in the North West Telegraph article on Wednesday, 20 May 2020. Next steps involve finalising the development application, finalising environmental approvals, obtaining Aboriginal heritage clearance, and commencement of procurement for construction. Thank you.
Thank you. The second question from Ms. Brooks is, the heritage tree on the old school oval Action Street has been badly damaged by white ants, etc. If it can't be saved, will the council be removing it? If so, when, as it looks dangerous the way it is? I'll now ask for a response from the Director of Infrastructure Services.
Thank you. The tamarind tree, located at the corner of Action and Anderson Street in Port Hedland, is in a poor structural condition. In approximately 2015, the tree was assessed by an arborist from Karratha during a street tree pruning program after it started to drop several significant limbs. Investigation found that the tree was rotting internally from the main trunk. If significant pruning was undertaken, there would be very little of the tree remaining. The decision was made to mulch the base of the tree up to the existing canopy line and to install temporary site fencing to ensure the public was safe from any future falling limbs. The tree was also watered on a monthly basis for approximately a year. Seeds from the tree have been propagated from the original tree and are now growing in gardens located in Cook Point at Merv's Lookout. There is no plan to remove the tree while it still shows signs of life. It should be noted that the tree is dying a slow death and at some stage it will require removal. It is located in a vacant block where it is able to be isolated from public access.
Thank you. So both those answers will be directed to the asker of the question. Yep, thanks. there is no other questions, so I close question time at 5:39. I now declare public statement time open. Do we have any public statements? There isn't any. So I close public statement time at 5:40. Do we have any petitions? There is nil petitions or submissions. Item 7, questions from members without notice. There is nil. Item 8, announcement by presiding members without discussion. There is a list of items summarising some of the meetings that I have attended. Item 9, I declare that I have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business papers before this meeting. And item 10, I confirm that the minutes of the ordinary meeting held on Wednesday the 22nd of April 2020 are a true and correct copy of that meeting. We now move on to the items for consideration in tonight's meeting. Item 11.1.1, sundry debtors write-offs. This report lists the bad debts for the year ending the 30th of June 2020. A schedule of these debts is listed in the schedule attached. These debts are deemed to be unrecoverable. All these debts are at least 120 days old or greater and are subject to formal insolvency appointments. The total amount subject to this item is $5,133.45, an amount that, given the current economic situation, I think is small in the scheme of things. I would expect next year's amount to be much greater. This report is of great importance in delivering an open and accountable local government. It gives confidence that every effort to collect debts has been exhausted. This report is part of our sound long-term financial planning. This amount is unlikely to be collected, but in saying that, council is not prevented from reinstating the debt. My understanding is debts of this nature are good for some 7 years due to the statute of limitations. I do support the recommendation in relation to this matter. The next item is 11.1.2, Corporate Business Plan, Quarterly Performance Report. This report covers the period the 1st of January 2020 to the 31st of March 2020 and gives advice to the community and council of the established local priorities and linking these operational functions as detailed in Strategic Community Plan and Corporate Business Plan. It gives a snapshot of the service delivery, operational budgeting and resourcing. The report gives the community confidence that the town is focused on meeting expectations. The third quarter figures show that 93% of all actions are either on track for completion or have been completed. Some achievements shown in the youth services area are close liaison with the police force, Headspace, Youth Council, BoxFit, SLAM, Youth Week, and Have a Try Night. The distribution of media release to 700 subscribers and local community groups, journalists. Council is now, of course, live streaming on Facebook, which is now occurring as we speak. The annual perception survey has also been completed. And many other actions designed to enhance community involvement and participation and open government. The special note is that even in times of lockdown, Council continues to deliver services to its community. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.1.3, Status of Council Decisions Update. This report is giving information to Council and the community as to what action have taken place in relation to matters that your Council has decided upon. This is a way of monitoring what is occurring in relation to projects. The process of compiling the list is that after every meeting, our officers transfer the decisions to a spreadsheet and allocate actions to relevant officers for action. Every 3 months, a report is compiled about those matters that have not been fully enacted and the reasons why. This process keeps me and the community informed about hold-ups and matters that have been completed. Remembering some matters do take considerable time to resolve, and some can only be completed after a third party responds. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. This next item is the Statement of Financial Activity for the period ending the 31st of March 2020. This matter is self-explanatory and is presented each month for the public to know the financial dealings for the month of March 2020. I have advised each month the matters noted are subject to what is called material variance. Capital projects 10% or $10,000, whichever is greater. Other items not capital, 10% or $50,000, whichever is greater, of the year-to-date budget. The opening fund surplus of $2.5 million presented in the audited annual financial statement and presented on the 27th of November 2019. The current funding position as at the 31st of March 2020 was $13.3 million. The breakdown of the cash position is as follows. Current assets, $241.4 million. Restricted cash, $239.9 million. And unrestricted cash, $1.1 million. I support option one and adopt the recommendation in relation to this item. The next item is 11.1.5, the proposed Town of Port Hedland waste local laws. I need to put on record my disappointment that we are not seeing a curbside recycling when promised for commencement at the end of June 2020. The new start time is early in the new year. This has occurred due to the coronavirus, an excuse that in my view is weak given the size of this contract and the importance of the project. This particular item is in preparation for the commencement to get all administrative actions in place to have an effective system in place to regulate collection, disposal and storage of waste and the recycling materials. The community will be responsible for separating the waste stream into the correct bins. This recycling will benefit all Port Hedland residents. This new local law will set up the structure required to deliver the expanded system. We will require a suitable transfer station and a recyclable receival facility. When this item is approved, it will be gazetted. Part of the holdups was the fact that the contractor involved had two fires in their Perth facilities, which has had an impact on their business model and delivery dates in relation to that. Before I announce my view on the recommendation, I just ask Craig Watts if there's anything you wish to add to what I've said.
Yes, through the Chair, as you mentioned, the current waste local law doesn't include provisions in relation to curbside recycling, which is intended to be implemented in the first quarter of next year as part of the curbside waste contract with Cleanaway. The new local laws will actually retain the current general waste clauses within the current local laws, but with adding the parts that specify what's a recycled material, provide clarity around collection and storage of the material, and provide enforcement provisions to be used when necessary. The recommendation and report will allow town officers to commence a gazettal process, which includes community consultation with the local laws to be returned to council for adoption later this year.
Thank you. The next item, 11.1. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I support the recommendation in relation to this item. The next item is 11.1.6, which is the item I mentioned that I had an impartiality interest declaration to make. So I'll make it now. I, the Honourable Frederick Riebling, Commissioner for the Town of Port Hedland, disclose that I have an impartiality interest with regard to agenda item 11.1.6, the National Redress Scheme. This item recommends that the Town of Port Hedland participate in the National Redress System and authorises the Chief Executive Officer to execute a service agreement if a redress application is received. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on this matter may be affected for the following reason. I am a board member of the Pilbara Community Legal Service, which provides support to anyone considering applying for the National Redress System. I do not receive payment for this work, and is a voluntary position. All board related matters are a collective decisions made by the board members. My decision is solely in relation to the best interest of the Town of Port Hedland. I've signed both those forms and I think I give them to the CEO. Now, after stating that, I state the following in relation to this matter. The state government has entered a scheme and has now made some determinations that require the council to join the scheme as follows. One, a key consideration and administrative arrangements for the Town of Port Hedland to participate. Two, formal endorsement participation as part of the West Australian government's role. Three, appoint a person or officer to be the person to receive the applications. a small part of the background of this massive inquiry is that the Royal Commission that sat, I think, for a couple of years, made 310 recommendations that were applicable to the West Australian government and the broader community. Now, all sectors of the government, including local government, are responsible for child safety into the future, which I think is an admirable thing, something that I thought was in place before anyhow. But basically, the West Australian government declared local government as an agency of the state government for the purpose of the redress system. The state government will pay compensation and training. We will coordinate a direct response, which might involve an apology or whatever. Any matters that come to us, we need to supply information to assist the finalisation of this matter. We are now considered a state government institution for the purpose of this scheme. We will only get financial protection from compensation if we join the scheme. I think it's in the interest of the people of Port Hedland to join it, so I support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Item 11.1.7, review of strategic committee terms of reference. This review is put forward on the basis that the primary function is in relation to the corporate business plan and the long-term financial plan. I'm of the view that this committee should also be a committee that should be used to deliver strategic planning for infrastructure, sporting, all manner of things. I would consider a meeting twice each year to be sufficient. For the system to work properly, it should be council-driven, with the Secretariat to give expert advice and direction. I will examine the terms of reference to see if the scope of work needs to be expanded to include strategic issues into the future outside the current ambit of the committee. I'll be doing this in my own right. I'm not asking for the council to do a study, and I will speak with the CEO and Deputy CEO in relation to what I've found in relation to that matter. I do support the recommendations in relation to this matter. Item 11.1.8, purchasing policy. This policy was adopted in February 2020. It just shows how quickly during the passage of the coronavirus things change. So I'll just read that again. This policy was adopted in February 2020. The policy provided for the best practice procurement to be achieved whilst complying with the regulations. The state government has amended Regulation 11, subsection 1 of the local government regulations to change the tender threshold from 150,000 to 250,000 to reduce red tape, and will expedite decision making to assist in recovery from the COVID-19. As a result of the state's changing, our limits will now move accordingly from 150,000 to 250,000. The town expects this will result in a faster decisions, which will provide benefits to the local economic recovery and employment within the town. I just ask the Deputy CEO if you have anything to add to that.
Thank you, through the Chair. Just that the adoption of the changes in the tender threshold from 150,000 to 250,000 will enable the officers of the town to action the changes as part of their standard processes, and as you have said, will expedite decision making on expenditure and have assist with the economic recovery to do with the COVID-19. Thank you.
Thank you. I support the recommendation in this matter. Okay. Item 11.1.9, schedule of fees and charges. The purpose of the new schedule of fees and charges to be included in this year's budget. for this year, no organisation will pay more, but many will pay less. The fees for using Shire grounds and facilities will be based on equity across all sports, all sporting organisations. Every adult will pay $30 for the season to access our facilities, and every child will pay $5 for accessing the facilities for the year. One other change is occurring. The storage in sporting sheds will be based on the square meterage model to ensure that only usable equipment is stored, and that council facilities aren't full of just old junk that sporting bodies just can't be bothered throwing out. So we want the storage system to be more efficient and actually store equipment that is usable and used. The bins at sporting events will be charged at a per bin basis rather than being charged for 10 bins. It is hoped that the new fee structure will encourage greater use of our facilities. I thank the staff for the work on the fees involved in getting to this point of time. I do ask Joe whether you wish to add anything to what I've said.
Yes, for the Chair, the primary change associated with the sports fees and charges, as you've mentioned, is the restructure of the model itself. Following research into the matter, which included a comparison with other local governments, as well as an analysis of the town's previous year's models, and having taken into great consideration extensive feedback from sporting groups, town officers have determined that a transition from a user or per hour model to a per player model represents a much more fair, reasonable, transparent and simple system for all clubs and associations. As you've mentioned, junior and senior players' fees have now been restructured to a per player fee of $5 and $30 respectively, and storage in sporting sheds have been amended into a square meter model. Town officers will ensure they work closely with all sporting clubs and associations to ensure a smooth transition towards this revised model. Thank you.
Thanks. I support the recommendation in relation to this item. Item 11.1.10. The town is required to review all delegations each year. This review satisfies this requirement. I have looked at the delegations and reduced the delegations in a number of areas. As a result of the review, I consider the new delegations are now more appropriate. As can be seen, there are many delegations due to the massive range of work that council delivers on your behalf. So the delegations are really operational requirements to allow for speedy decisions and for quick responses to issues. So those delegations will deliver that. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.1.11, workplace health and safety. This policy has been reviewed and amended in preparation for workplace health and safety harmonisation and updating in legislation. The health of our employees and the community remains our top priority. The review takes place every 3 years. During this review, we benchmark other external agencies to improve our existing policy. The bodies used for this review, the external bodies, were the City of Karratha, the Shire of Wyndham East Kimberley, the Shire of Broome, the City of Bunbury, the City of Belmont, and the City of Swan. The new policy is intended to reinforce that safety is our number one priority. So I support the recommendation in relation to this item. Okay. Now this is another one of those items that is a result of the COVID-19 response by the state government. Item 11.1.12, revocation of previous council decision 2020-21, rating strategies. This item is a result of the state government stopping your council from advertising our rates intention for the year's budget. On the 30th of April 2020, the Department of Local Government, Sport and Culture, its cultural industries notified all local governments that the Minister for Local Government is intending to make an order using the new COVID-19 response powers. The department recommended that local governments do not commence advertising these rates and charges until after the order is gazetted. I just would like to say that your council had organised advertisements to go in the very next day, and a large amount of work that our expert staff had done was kind of wasted, unfortunately. The new rules are as the town is not changing the rate in the dollar from 2019-20, the town does not need to advertise rates for community consultation for 2020-21. I now have to show my hand in support, and I do, for the revocation to take effect. I support the council's revoking parts 3 and 4 of decision CM 201920-202 of the ordinary council meeting held on the 22nd of April 2020. The only part of the original resolution that are still in place are now parts 1 and 2 of that original decision. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.2.1, sublease of proposed childcare services at the old TAFE site. The history of this premises is as follows. The Headland Collective paid for the refurbishment of the old TAFE childcare building. The items that needed work were, firstly, new air conditioning, 2, retiling of the wet areas, 3, full repainting, 4, upgrading of lighting, 5, insulation of appropriate security system for external and internal restricted areas, 6, updating internal communication system, 7, full replacement and fit out of kitchen, 8, upgrading laundry, 9, minor works to outdoor areas, including play areas. That, in my view, really is a complete rebuild of the building. I do thank the Headland Collective for the work they have put in, and congratulate the collective for this valuable community asset that is now ready for use, thanks to the collective. And it's mentioned also in the wording of the recommendation as well. This is an organisation that is put in place purely for the benefit of people of Port Hedland and projects, so thanks to them. This report goes into the efforts to get an operator for this building. 5 submissions were received. After extensive process, a group has been chosen that has the experience in delivering successful daycare services for a similar sized operation. Demonstrated a superior quality of service through consistent outcomes on audited compliance and experience in providing services to disadvantaged and children with disabilities. The second preferred applicant has been named if the preferred applicant for some reason is unable to fulfil the obligations. I once again call on Joe to make any comments if you wish in relation to this, because of your involvement in it.
Thank you, through the Chair. Before I do so, I actually have to declare an impression.
Oh, sorry, that's right. Yep.
So I declare an impartiality interest in relation for item 11.2.1, expression of interest for the sublease of portion lot 500 Forest Circle, South Headland,
for the purpose of childcare services due to a close family member being enrolled at one of the expression of interest respondents' local branches. So thank you for that. And just in relation to the item itself, this follows a council resolution from February 2019 when critical issues associated with the provision of childcare placements across Headland were highlighted. Part of the report's resolution was to reactivate the South Headland TAFE Childcare Centre. As you mentioned, thanks to the collaboration with the Headland Collective, the site was subject to an extensive refurbishment project, and concurrently the town conducted a rigorous and extensive expression of interest process to ensure the selection of an appropriate childcare provider. This item now presents to Council the outcome of that expression of interest process, which recommends the appointment of an experienced childcare provider, which will go towards alleviating childcare issues in Headland by providing in the vicinity of 50 additional full-time placements for children between the ages of 0 to 5 years. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just remind people, for those that are listening, what a big issue it was 12 months ago. I'm sure it still is. The provision of daycare and the two facilities that have been opened in the last few weeks add probably 70 to 75 capacity built on what we had before. I do support the recommendation, and I will read the recommendation out with the applicant's details. And before I do that, this is an example of yet another local operator getting the work from the town of Port Hedland, and there's a number of those within this tonight's report. The officer's recommendation that council endorse the outcomes of the evaluation report as listed under confidential attachment 1.2, requests the CEO or his delegates to enter into a sublease agreement in accordance with section 3.58 of the Local Government Act 1995. For the provision of childcare services on portion lot 500, Forest Circle, part of the South Headland TAFE site, with One Tree Community Services Incorporated, that's their whole name, for a period of 5 years with a further 5-year option, with a lease fee to be negotiated in accordance with the policy 8-004 Community Leasing 3. Should negotiations with One Tree Community Services Inc. Not be successful, request the CEO or his delegate enter into negotiations with the second preferred applicant, Young Men's Christian Association, the YMCA, and 4, a vote of thanks to the Headland Collective for the partnership with the town of Port Headland to ensure the delivery of a positive outcome for this alleviation of childcare situation in Port Headland. So I congratulate all those involved in bringing this to fruition. It has been a lengthy battle to do that, so I congratulate all those staff involved in this worthwhile venture. Okay. Quarterly review. Item 11.2.2, quarterly review of the operations of the Courthouse Art Gallery. This report is provides information on the performance of our art gallery and provides a quarterly review of their efforts. Of course, this period also includes 1 month of lockdown due to the COVID-19 restrictions. The following is a quick summary of what was achieved for this period. The net profits of $3,611 is in accordance with the agreement. Key achievements: 1, the Radius exhibition featuring Pilbara artists; 2, the launch of the Jury Prize, marking 20 years of this annual arts award, has been announced; 3, partnership with Art Money to foster a sustainable creative economy; 4, activation of the Courthouse Gallery Studio during the cruise ship. We don't like to talk about cruise ships anymore, but at the time of the visit of the last cruise ship, it was a huge boost to our local small business economy. And thank goodness we had no adverse impact in relation to COVID, in relation to that. And I think it's the last of the cruise ships that was welcomed, so that's an event. Five, taking all programs and exhibitions online. And six, delivering initiatives and programs to all key performance indicators. The performance of our art gallery has shown good results in the face of a very difficult time when businesses that rely on people visiting actually go broke in the area. The agreement with the Junction Company will guarantee the future of art in our in Port Hedland to be strong. It's an investment in the future that your council makes the running of this art gallery. I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Okay. Item 11.2.3, decommissioning of the dive pool at Gratwick Aquatic Centre. I've considered this item at length as to what to do, it could be used and what it could be used for, and the cost of rectifying the problems of the pool that is in fact 50 years old. The facts are that in my view action now needs to be taken to replace the entire pool structure in Hedland over the next 10 year period or so. Both Hedland and South Hedland need to be included in a plan going forward. The problems with this dive pool are as follows. One, it is 50 years old and has passed its use-by date. Two, the pool was opened briefly in November, then closed and not reopened. The entire community was shocked at this closure, including myself. Three, the health department had a false positive for a deadly waterborne amoeba, which name is impronounceable, so I won't try. Item four, the pool has since regularly returned a positive test for amoeba, although not of the dangerous type. It is still unacceptable to me that those results still return that. Five, the pool has been fully isolated from the other two pools in the complex, so there is no danger to the public. Six, this pool has painted walls, not tiled, which amoeba can more readily attach themselves to and increase the risk. Seven, the filtration system for the dive pool does not allow the flow of water required to work properly. The pipework is small. The other pools have much larger pipes, and our pumps have plenty of capacity to pump as much water as possible. It's just the structure of this dive pool is insufficient. And eight, the recommissioning of the dive pool would cost between 1.5 million and 1.7 million to rebuild. A dive pool that in fact the statistics show around the world no one uses any longer, so I think the dive pool era finished about 50 years ago, so it is now not used. I wish to support the recommendation in relation to this item. Before I move on to the next item, I just want to mention something else in relation to the buildings. I'm also of the opinion that other buildings of the same vintage or similar vintage need to be reviewed. For example, this building, the previous council authorised the spending of a significant amount of money to patch this building up. This building had significant improvements, and this room is part of that. But even after the work is finalised, this building cannot be used for a cyclone shelter due to the state of the building itself, the internal structure of it. So I just wish to give notice that I, the Honourable Frederick Riebling, I always find it difficult mentioning my title, Commissioner of the Town of Port Hedland, hereby provide a notice of motion to request that a review of the be conducted in relation to the structural condition and the long-term strategy for the Civic Centre building. And I'll give that to the CEO.
Thank you.
And we'll go back onto the program. Which is item 11.2.4, which is a similar report than to the art gallery, but this is in relation to the visitor centre. This report is similar to the art gallery report and has the same issues with the delivery of services to tourists who have been stopped from visiting our region. Despite the above, this is a list of key achievements that the centre has obeyed. One, the costs of running the centre are within the parameters set out in the contract. Two, the quality tourism business accreditation achieved and finalised in that period of time. Three, execution of the cruise ship engagement program was successful. Once again, it's that cruise ship bogey, I suppose. With it had 8,271 visitors for that period, and five services have gone online during the COVID-19. This group is achieving and performing its duties to the best of its ability during this difficult time. Once again, the funding of this tourism venture means that it will be ready to respond to tourists when they arrive, a valuable contribution, I would have thought, to tourism by this council. And interestingly, possibly as early as this weekend, we might start getting tourists from the south trying to escape the wintry conditions down south. I do support the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.3.1, which is the closure of an item in relation to the closure of Powell Road. There is an amendment which is highlighted in yellow, but I don't know how well that is in relation to the broadcasting. So I'll read that amendment. I can do it now if people, that's okay. Which is B, an emergency and planned access to the closed portion of Powell Road during times when Warwick Bridge is not available or not suitable due to high wind load access requirements. And in C, changing a minimum of 24 months to 12 months. So that's the recommendation in relation to 11.3.1. The rest of the recommendation stands. This item is an application by BHP to close a portion of Powell Road as part of an overall program to stop all points of possible conflict between rail and vehicles in Port Hedland area, in the Port Hedland area. This matter has been out for comment for a number of months, with only 8 responses received during that time. This matter has had a long history going back to the construction of the Warwick Bridge. I understand that the Shire agreed at the time to close this road if the bridge was constructed with 4 lanes, which it was, and they did that. And now BHP is currently looking at a large commitment, money-wise, near the airport to finish the possible conflict points. My understanding is 2 bridges are to be constructed in and around the airport to achieve that. What is proposed is supported by the Main Roads Department, is the closure of the road to the general public, but continue to allow large vehicle access to be used to access. And if the access between Port and South Hedland is closed due to an emergency, then this road will be reopened for the duration of the emergency. I've seen footage of people that could only be described as crazy people cheating death by driving around the boom gates. And maybe people don't realise that that rail crossing is actually filmed all the time. But it's not just one person doing it. There's been quite a few people have been filmed risking death and risking, you know, disaster, really, for them and their families. Because I've got to guarantee that the actual iron ore trains wouldn't sustain the sort of damage that the car would if there was a collision. This is an asset that will be lost to the community, and this decision is not what I do lightly. The beauty of this situation is that if the congestion caused by the actions is too bad, then the road structure will still be there to use. What I want a review of the traffic flow to be carried out and reported back to council after 1 year of operating of the new system. I do ask Craig Watts if there was anything else you wish to add.
Through the chair, as you mentioned, this agenda item has come about as a result of a request from BHP to close a portion of road which has an intersecting rail line, which has been identified as a potential safety risk. Due to the potential effects on road users, this item has been advertised with submissions received from the public and another two from external agencies. The content of those submissions and concerns raised led to further investigative works, including a traffic impact assessment being undertaken. The officer's recommendation incorporates conditions which have come about from the community consultation, including emergency access and monitoring of the adjacent road network. Thank you.
Thank you. I support the amendment, the amended version of the recommendation in relation to this matter. Item 11.4.1, South Headland Entry Statement Landscaping. This item is the final approval to start work. I am of the view that the town will be able to do the bulk or some of the work required to be carried out, but that'll be a decision made by the administration, not me. This project went out for public comment, and we had only one comment which was supportive of the project, and I could probably guess who wrote that, but this project will, one, plant out the embankments, B, produce drinking fountains, 3, lighting, 4, public arts element, 5, low maintenance plantings, 6, curbing, irrigation and landscaping, upgrading and repairs, 7, planting of larger trees, 8, turf and cracker dust placing, 9, feature plantings, 10, seating nodes and shaded areas, concept seating and retaining walls, 11, decorative paving, 12, pathway to Spinifex Art Studio. Before I make a decision in relation to that, I ask Lee Finesse if there's any issue she wishes to raise.
Thank you, Commissioner. It is envisaged that these works will add value to the community by improving the visual aesthetics to the entrance of South Headland. These plans were designed in-house, and I think that they will provide a lift to that part of South Headland, and it will also integrate with works that have already been carried out in Throssell and in that area. Thank you.
Thank you. I support the recommendation in relation to this item. Item 11.4.2, sanitation and cleaning of public ablutions. This report, this report is to award the contract to have a high standard of service delivery in the area. We are changing the way these facilities are maintained. We will have an improved level of services. The services will be checked daily with a checklist and submitted to the town on a monthly basis. Key performance indicators have been developed to ensure that the level of services and inspections are maintained by the successful supplier. The company will be required to daily clean, sanitise of 19 individual public ablutions, bin cleaning, bin enclosures, hard stand, playgrounds, Town of Port Hedland plant and graffiti removal. I do ask Lee Finesse if there's anything else you wish to add to that.
Often a town is known by the state of its public amenities, and this is to improve the way in which our public amenities, especially toilets, are cleaned. It is a high standard. The contract also allows for extra cleaning when there are use of the facilities for public events, so we can have a higher standard during those busy times.
Thank you. I support the recommendation and will read aloud the recommendation as it names the successful applicant. I do point out that once again this company is a local Port Hedland company, so the money for this service will be in our community and supporting employment. The officer's recommendation, the council accepts the tender submitted by Pressure Force Port Hedland in accordance with tender RFT 1920-19, sanitation and cleaning public ablutions, for a total amount of $855,803.43. Never ceases to amaze me how we get the minor cents, but anyhow, excluding GST, for the contract term of 3 years, exclusive of 2 years, 1 year extension option at the town's discretion. So I support that recommendation. Okay, this next item, 11.4.3, is an exciting item in relation to delivery of our master plans in relation to the J.D. Hardy Centre. So I think this is a significant moment in council's delivery of those master plans. Item 11.4.3. This item is to award the tender for the J.D. Hardy Centre, and the tender has a time limit attached to it to be completed prior to the 2020-21 cyclone season. The work consists of the following: one, extensive internal and structural modifications; two, new roof over the entire building, including a new wall cladding to selected areas; structural modifications to accommodation, new and modified roof profiles; three, new heating, ventilation and air conditioning to the entire J.D. Hardy youth zone; two, new chillers, air handling units, associated pipework, duct, including building maintenance systems; and four, demolition, alternative interior space, including modification of internal layout; and five, a local company that has achieved this contract, which I'll read out once we get to that point. I think it's probably one of the largest contracts that local companies in Port Hedland have probably ever had. So that's the magnitude of it in my view, and they should be proud of what they've stepped up to do. Once again, Lee, do you want to make a comment in relation to this?
Yes, this is a really exciting project for the town. So this is part of the JD Hardy Master Plan project. This will ensure that the internal parts of the complex are brought up to standard. It will also enable a much more comfortable place for people to shelter in a cyclone. It is the main cyclone shelter for the town. And it also provides much better spaces for the town to undertake the programming that it does very successfully at that facility.
Thanks. Yeah, this, before I read aloud the recommendation, I just want to re-emphasise that this is a significant step forward in the master plan procurement, and it will, if nothing else, will stop people getting wet during the cyclone, because the old roof leaked like a sieve and it needs a replacement. So the recommendation, the officer's recommendation, is as follows. The council accepts the tender submitted by MJW Builders, which I said is a local Port Hedland company, in accordance with the tender 1920-28 HVAC roof and interior reconstruction work at the JD Hardy Centre for the total lump sum amount of $6,687,757, excluding GST. So thanks very much to all those officers that have got this project to this point, and I'm proud of the local company that some people tend to think that our local purchasing policy doesn't work, but this is yet another example of local people getting the work, and the money will stay in Port Hedland. I support the I've got to read it. Did I just read it out? Oh, okay. I support the recommendation. Okay. Okay. Item 11.4.4. This item was put out for public comment and is now reporting back to council. The NEP proposal was overwhelmingly positive. The choice of option one also, as I stated, was, I think, an obvious choice. I now go back to the administration to progress this project as soon as possible. I do note that money has been put in our current budget for approvals, detailed design and the like. So we now look to funding of this project. So we'll be going out to partners, I would think, to fund the project. We'll hopefully get good news in relation to that shortly. So I support the recommendation in relation to this matter. And that finishes the actual independent items, but we go to item 12, report of committees. This is an item which probably should have been done a little while ago, but it's item 12.1, the Audit, Risk and Governance Committee minutes for the 12th of November 2018. I received the minutes of that committee and state that they are a true copy of the meeting held on the 12th of November 2019. Item 13, motion for which previous notice has been given, there is nil. 14, new business of an urgent nature, there is nil. 15, matters for which meeting may be closed, there is nil. Item 16, the date of the next meeting, the next ordinary meeting of council will be held on Wednesday the 24th of June 2020, commencing at 5:30 p.m. I now wish to close the meeting at 6:35.